Appreciate the opportunity to stand and preach this morning. Appreciate Brother Ron asking me. So unworthy. I feel so unworthy. I know there's men here that's forgotten a whole lot more than I'll ever know. And anyway, I'm honored to be here this morning. Appreciate a good word I heard last night, Brother Tom. I tell you, I told my wife coming down here this morning, we laid at the Jonesboro last night, and told her on the ride down here, I said, the trip over here was worth one statement Brother Tom made last night. The whole trip was worth that one statement. He sat down at the piano last night, and he said, the likes of God sent the likes of Jesus for the likes of me. Wow. I went to bed thinking about that last night, Brother Tom. I thank you. It is good to be here. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm going to wash some of that Cracker Barrel breakfast there if you don't mind. Well, it's kind of dry, but anyway. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the last chapter of the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 22. I want to read three verses there. Revelation chapter 22. Verse 7, verse 12, and verse number 20. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 7. The Bible says, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. Then drop down to verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then verse number 20, the Bible says, he which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Preaching on the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Now, Father, Lord, we thank you for the blessing of the good day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for the, Lord, just the good warm sunshine. It's warming my back this morning. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we serve a mighty God. And Lord, we thank you so very much for the good grace you've given us. You watch care over us. The privilege to be in your house. This is another time to assemble together. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each and every one here today. Father, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to stand and preach this morning. So unworthy, but yet, Lord, I'm thankful that you called me to do that. And praying, Father, that your word goes forth and accomplish what you please. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm expecting the Lord's return as to any moment, any hour of the day. I believe he could come this morning. Wouldn't it be a wonderful morning to see our blessed Lord, the one that went to the cross of Calvary, gave himself there for you and I, that we might be redeemed or be to have life and have it more abundantly. But I'm glad he's promised us that he is coming. We know that when he came the first time, he came to save man from his ruin, his depravation and his sin, and by the redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that he has regenerated us by the Holy Spirit, and thank God for that. And but we're looking at the time for him to come again when he has promised that he will. I'm glad he's true and faithful this morning, aren't you? He's never lied to us. He's never broken a promise in any way. So I want to see the reality of his coming this morning, first of all, that he has promised that. He promised in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, my friend, Jesus promised us that he's coming back. And as he left his disciples there, he said, are you going back to the Father? But he sent the Comforter to the Holy Ghost to abide in our hearts. And I'm glad that he's gone there to prepare a place for us. I remember hearing Brother Doug Bearden from Carrollton, Georgia. Some of you know him. He's preaching there in Pontotoc one time, and he said he got through preaching the meeting and he went home that night. Probably got home 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and then after a little while his phone rang, and on the other end there was one of the men of the church, and he says, "Brother Doug, little Johnny's sitting at the table, and he's crying, and he's got his Bible open, and Brother Doug had preached from this passage of Scripture, John 14:1. And about having a place, and this man said, "Little Johnny's crying. He's wanting to talk to you." And Brother Doug said, "I'll be right there in just a little bit." And he went over there, and little Johnny's sitting still at the table crying. And Brother Doug said, "Johnny, what's wrong with you?" And he pointed his finger right there on verse number two of John chapter 14. And he said, "That right there is what's wrong." He said, "What is it?" He said, "I don't have a place, but I'm glad Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And He's coming back for us." And boy, I'm glad to know that this morning. Peter said the last days there's going to be some scoffers walking about seeking after their own lust and saying, "Where's the promise of His coming?" I believe we're living that day, don't you? I believe folks today have turned their back on God. They're walking away from the house of God. There's so much going on in the world today that's drawing them away. The devil's doing a good job of it, isn't he not? He's drawing us away. But I want to tell you the reality of the fact is that Jesus is still the same today as He was yesterday. He promised us He's coming back. And you better be ready to warm this morning. We better get geared up for it this morning because He's coming. We're living in the last days when people have given up hope of His coming. You can tell that by their lifestyles in which they live. I mean, you just go down to Walmart and you see folks down there. They don't care what they look like. I mean, it's just a mess sometimes. We got some of these fellows walking around today with their britches down to their knees. I'm not going to get on all that this morning, but you know what I'm talking about. We're living in a wicked day. We're living in a day that it's sinful. And my friend Jesus said something about that in Matthew 24, verse 37. "But as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not that the flood came and took them all away. And so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man." So we're living in that day when nobody knows and nobody cares and nobody understands the reality of the fact that Jesus is coming back. And we need to be ready. We need to be prayed up. We need to be churched up. I'm telling you, my friend, the church today is going out of business, my friend. We down there at Elam Baptist Church, Coffeyville, Mississippi. I'm telling you, we're just down to just a handful now. I don't know whether I preached them out of there or what, but I want to tell you, it's just the devil getting into a lot of it. And the devil is drawing away and taking away over some issues there that has no business being brought up in the first place. But I want to tell you, dear friend, we better get ready. The Bible says, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such hours you think not, the Son of Man cometh." One of these days you're going to catch a lot of people off guard. In reality, the fact is, He's coming in submission, or hearing this, that He's coming. And so the disciples, as they, you remember how the disciples, whenever Jesus was had risen from the grave and He had appeared unto the many there, and the very infallible proofs of that. But yet on the road there, as He ascended back to the Father, the Bible said that the two men stood by them in white apparel and said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." So one of these days, He's going to bust that eastern sky wide open. He's going to step out on the clouds and say, "Come up hither." Boy, won't that be a wonderful day? It could be today. I'm looking for that. I'm longing for that in my heart. So our Lord's return is on the horizon. My friend, it is the next big event on God's plan. He's going to say one day, "Son, go get your children." And He's going to step out on the clouds, as Paul said, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." That word "caught up" there in the Greek, it is harpazo. It means to be snatched with force. In other words, my friend, we're going to get on out of here. We're going to be jerked up yonder to glory. Thank God for that. And it'll be a wonderful, glorious day, won't it? You're talking about getting out of here. And we're going to have an angel escort right into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't that be wonderful? You know, I've ridden on a big old plane once or twice in my life. And then Delta Airlines flew me to Chicago one time. I was just a kid still in high school. But I want to tell you, it was an amazing trip. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, one of these days that angel there is going to give us an amazing ride. Hallelujah. Right into the presence of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad of that, brother. Hallelujah. I'm going yonder where my Lord Jesus says, hey, thank God that He sent Jesus for us. But the reality of the fact is He's coming back. You remember, well, the story that Jesus told of the 10 virgins, how that five were wise and five were foolish. But when the midnight cry came and they got up and they trimmed their lights, well, five had the oil and went in with the bridegroom. But there was five that was foolish. They had to go into town. They missed the going in. But I want to tell you, there's going to be a lot of folks miss out in this world today, because when Christ comes, they're not going to be ready for Him. They're not going to be looking for Him. They're not going to be expecting Him. But I want to tell you today, we have the promise of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. And my friend, you better realize that it is an established fact that He is coming. But I want to say this, not only that the reality of His coming, but we're going to see the rapidity of His coming. Surely He's coming. The Bible's already told you there in the Scriptures that we read, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Surely I come quickly. Well, won't that be something? Won't that be fast? That word surely, it means strong affirmation. In other words, it is a strong assurance that He's coming. You can't bend it this way or that away. It's just as straight as it can be this morning. And the word quickly in the Greek, it means shortly, without delay. And three times He has reminded us of His coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and He that shall come and will not tarry. Amen. He's right on time. He's right on schedule. It may not look like it to you and I this morning. It may be seems like a long time, and it has been a long time for us. But I want to tell you the last statement of this Bible, it seems like it's been forever. But it's only been some 2,000 years now. But you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And one of these days, my friend, it's just going to come to fruition, and He's going to step out there and come get His children. I don't know if about up in this part of the country or not, but down in our part, there's a new song that's come out on the radio here lately, and I can't tell you the man's name that sings it, but it's titled "Here He Comes." And boy, I like that song. And he says, here he comes. He come to Bethlehem. And he began the story. And he goes through his life there, and how did he heal, and how did he raise the dead and all that. But the last statement of the Bible, here he comes to finish the story. And one of these days he's going to wind it up. He's going to finish the story. And he started yonder in Bethlehem. I want to tell you, dear friend, we better be ready. The Bible says, for his lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The rapidity of it is, my friend, you're going to blink with your eyes in this filthy, sin-cursed world, and you're going to open yonder in glory world. You're just going to step out on the riverbanks of Jordan there, and boy, just be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ shall come, my friend, we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed from this frail, failing body, and we're going to have an enduring, eternal, everlasting, indestructible, incorruptible body. Hallelujah. Boy, my old knees are hurting this morning. My old back's been hurting this morning. My wife, she struggles with back problems a whole lot. But I want to tell you, one of these days we're going to get a glorified body. Hallelujah, Brother Harvey. You ain't going to have to worry about anything, these aches and pains. I'm telling you, the rapidity of it, we're going to be changed. As Paul says there, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Hallelujah. That word change is from the Greek word, or from the word alasso, if I pronounce that right. It means to be transformed or to exchange one thing for another. Hey, we're going to change this one thing, this little vile body, for a glorified body. Hallelujah. Now, thank God for that. We're going to be changed and put on the incorruptible, glorified spiritual body that Christ has prepared for us, yonder in glory. And Paul said, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see, my friend, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to yonder experience the things that God has prepared for us yonder in glory. The Bible says, "I have not seen, nor ye have heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that. I've seen a lot of pretty places in this world. I've driven a truck for over 30-something years of my life. Out on the highways and the byways, been to a lot of places. But I won't tell you, my friend, hadn't seen nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. I tell you, dear friend, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be marvelous. It's going to be spectacular because the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. And He's coming back. And the rapidity of it is, it is going to be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be changed yonder to be with Him. But I'll lastly just say this morning, not only is it reality of His coming, that He surely is coming, and the rapidity of it, He's going to come in a swift manner, but we see the results of His coming. All the results of it. You see, the guilty, hell-deserving sinners who have been justified shall be manifestly glorified yonder in eternity. Hallelujah. We who do not deserve yonder. We who do not deserve to be in the very presence. We ought to be in hell this morning. I should be there this morning. But thank God, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the result of it's going to be yonder in heaven with Him. Jesus said in Revelation 7:9-10, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes of palms, with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Oh, we're going to be around the throne worshiping the Lamb. Yes. The one slain from the foundation of the world, the one who gave Himself. Oh, there'll be a lot of people today say that they killed Him, but oh no, they didn't kill Him. He gave Himself. That we might have life and have it more abundantly. Revelation 5:9 says, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood." I'm glad for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank God it covers a multitude of sins. I told them, we was over in Lebanon Baptist Church yesterday morning, Brother Lane Finley. Sorry. He had a day service yesterday morning. We were sitting around a table. Told Brother Don, my grandson got saved here about a month ago, 9 years old. Boy, it was a blessing. And I got to baptize him. Hallelujah. I mean, the church that he goes to, the pastor was gracious enough to let me come and preach that morning. But yet on top of that, I got to baptize my grandson. Boy, you talking about rejoicing. You talking about my heart swelling up. I'm glad he's on his way to heaven. I carried him to soccer practice. He spent the Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday with us this week. His mom and dad is out in Texas on a business trip, but him and his brother spent the week with us. And Thursday night, I had carried him to soccer practice. He come in, boy, he was sweaty and dirty, and he went and got his shower. I was sitting on the couch, and wasn't paying attention. Had the TV on one of them fire stations. I don't even know what you call the name of the show, Chicago Fire or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, there were firemen there. And Carson, my grandson, he come in, he laid down on the couch after getting his shower and put his head in my lap. And he was just laying there watching television. And the man on the television, the fireman on the television, was thinking about going into business with somebody else. This man that was trying to talk, he was trying to talk his fireman into going into business. And that man said to the fireman, he said, "It'll be the greatest decision you'll ever make in your life." I mean, just out of no time, out of nowhere. My grandson says, "No, that'll be the second greatest decision you'll ever make."
Glory.
Hallelujah. Yeah. He said the best decision you'll ever make is getting saved.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb this morning. He's going to heaven. Well, I'm glad my family's on the way. And I've got more to go, but I want to tell you, my friend, it is that He is coming back for us. He's prepared a place for us, and He's coming in results of it. We're going to be yonder in glory with Him.
Hallelujah.
Throughout all eternity. One day, the blood-washed, blood-bought church of the living God going to stand around the throne and said, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." I'm glad I'm in that number. Glad I'm going that way. I hope you are this morning. I hope you're prepared to go. Well, I'm looking for it. Looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing. The great God and our Savior. the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready?